I'm a deer hunter, how do you do? I got the deer hunting rapping tale for you. I'm so excited, it's my favorite time of year. I love to feast my buns, chasing trophy deer.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. And Barbecue Bob is up at deer camp, and sitting in with me, is the one and only Tim Sobey from Sobey Meats. So glad to have you here, Tim.
Great to be here. And real quick, on behalf of, as a Jethro listener myself, I think this is the perfect fit for the Grilling Guys this station. So welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks. It's great to be here. I know you've got a show as well that you contribute to, the Polka Pops, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to have your polkas.
Right. Yeah. Last weekend was a big weekend for that, with Pulaski Days in town.
Still giving my liver a rest from that one.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I went out of town for deer camp, but about the same difference, I'm sure. So, Tim, every time I have an opportunity to get you on the show where it's just you and I, I like to do what I call a trip down the meat case. And in your store on Remembrance Road on the northwest side of Grand Rapids, you've got, I've never measured it, but I'm going to say 60, 70 feet of meat case down through there.
Yep.
The best meat store in West Michigan, if not Michigan. And there's a lot of stuff in there. There's a lot of stuff. So we start down there on the end by your office.
Yep.
And that's the beef section. I probably spend most of my time there, and the other end, when we'll get to that. But that beef section, tell me about the four or five most popular cuts that you've got in the case and why you think they are.
One certainly would be a ribeye.
Right.
A porterhouse, bone-in sirloin, which not everybody has bone-in sirloin.
Right.
And, of course, this time of year, we're getting into that pot roast time, but still going after those steaks. But the other one is so popular for us is a Sobey Sizzler.
Yeah, so tell me about that.
So that's a specific muscle. They call it the teres major. There's only two on a whole beef. So you got a 1,200-pound animal, you're getting basically 2 pounds of it out of that whole animal.
Wow.
So they're a little bit hard to get to, and we sell a ton of them. So they're a great cut. Along with those, the other bone-in steaks, and we've talked about this before, we have what's known as American Wagyu, is basically a half-breed Wagyu beef.
Right.
So it's not the exorbitant price of purebred Wagyu, but it still has the qualities of fat, flavor, tenderness, all that stuff.
Right.
It
wonderful really marbling. Special.
Yeah.
Tender.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that ribeye, that's very marbled piece of meat as well. And if you're new to the Grilling Guys, welcome. But marbling equals moisture and flavor.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So you get really moist steaks when you've got a lot of marbling. And that marbling is the veins of fat, if you will, that are in there. And you sear them up and then cook them slow, and that stuff is just, so good. My mouth's watering just talking about it. The porterhouse, as I understand it, is a New York strip on one side and a piece of the filet on the other.
Correct.
Right? And a bone down the middle.
Yep.
That is the perfect steak for my family. And let me tell you why. Because my wife, Lisa, doesn't eat big steaks, right? She just a petite little thing, and she doesn't have a huge appetite. Myself, I like a big hunk of meat. So you get one of those porterhouses, you got that New York strip side, which is two or three times as big as the filet side, and then the bone in the middle goes to the dog.
Yeah.
And so it's a perfect family steak for me. You know, you can cook those up medium rare. They're cut nice inch thick in your meat counter, and oh man, I can't pass them up when I get there.
The other bonus we have is off that local beef, because we break those down ourselves. So a true porterhouse will have a tail on it.
Right.
So most of the big box stores, that tail's removed. That's actually a piece getting into the flank part of the animal. It's a little bit chewy, but it is packed full of flavor.
Yes, it is.
So you're right on that porterhouse. You're almost getting three different cuts.
Right.
The tail being way flavorful, a little bit chewy. The New York strip is a blend of both. And then the filet isn't the most flavorful, but it is certainly the most tender.
Oh, yeah. So you might have heard that I didn't mention there were three cuts, there were only twos, because that tail always ends up on my board.
Yeah.
And I don't get to the table. I got to eat it if I'm cooking it, right? You got to make sure it's ready to go.
Yes.
And because you're right, that is a very, very flavorful piece, and I'll take it off of there and eat it while I'm cooking the rest
Snitch.
Of it. You know, yeah. that's it. So tri-tips. Tell me about a tri-tip. They seem to be popular. Where are they from on the animal, and why do you think that people gravitate to these things?
So they're off part of the sirloin, and it's a cut. Actually, they started out in California and took several years. It finally worked its way this way. They're a great all-around cut of meat. So there again, that's a specific muscle. And they're flavorful, they're tender, and you cook that whole piece if you want. You can cut it into sizzlers, but we always do it as a whole chunk, and then we'll slice off that to serve it up.
Right.
Any leftovers, don't ever try doing this. But we'll take garlic bread, and we have a garlic cheddar cheese that will melt on top of that. We'll take those thin pieces of tri-tip, and we'll put those on there, make a little beef Sammy. Ooh. Oh, it is horrible.
Yeah,
it is absolutely horrible.
Yeah, what can be wrong with garlic cheese and beef tri-tip? Well, nothing.
And you sop eat it on, up the drippings.
Right, yeah. And you eat it on garlic bread.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
My. Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, that's gotten to be kind of a deer camp tradition, because even if we come in out of the field, you can probably get one of those done in probably 20 to 30 minutes easily.
Right.
And it's ready to go. So it doesn't take a long time, but they're just so delicious.
And you're cooking them on a grill.
Yeah.
Right?
Grill, or we've done where potentially we got into the dipsy doodles a little too early.
Right, right.
And I'll say I did it like a prime rib where I just put digital thermometer in it, put it in a 250 oven.
Right.
And now we'll get it to a good medium rare, and it might only take 20, 25 minutes like that.
Okay. So what you just heard was some very good advice, but I want to pick out one thing from that. And that is the digital thermometer. Okay, if I could give you one piece of advice only about cooking meat on the grill, it is use a thermometer. Okay, because overdone meat is close to ruined meat. You can salvage it, but if it's overdone and it's overcooked, and you're a medium rare guy like my friend Tim and I are, you don't want it overdone. And the key to that is pulling it off 4 or 5 degrees below where you want it. Tim, medium rare on a piece of meat like that, what are you going to take it to?
For me, I only take it to about 125.
Right.
If it was me myself, I'd do it 120 and go to 125.
Right.
But for Teresa and
there
most of the gals, just a few degrees more. So we'll cook it to 125. It'll end up about 130.
Yeah. So what you're hearing there is when you pull it off the grill, the heat continues to escalate.
Yep.
And that's a natural thing because the piece of meat is hot and it has to get hotter before it starts to cool. It's just the physics of the piece of meat. So if you're trying to get to that perfect 125, as Tim said, pull it off at 120. You want your meat to rest anyway, right? Because if you take it off as soon as you take it off the grill, you're going to lose all the juices because they've come to the surface when that heat is there. And as it starts to cool, they draw back in a little bit, right? Yep.
Now, Tim's tip of the day, though, when you go to slice that, if you're in a hurry to eat and you slice it and those drippings go on the platter, that's where the garlic bread comes in. You sop the juices up, and then nothing's wasted.
Right. Yeah, it's all about efficiency
when
you're eating, right? But so you've got your camp up near Irons, Michigan, and you went up the first weekend and bagged your buck. That was cool. And I'm sure you've got more trips coming up. And so in the next segment, I want to talk about some of the other meats that you might take with you. We'll get to the meat sticks and jerky and that stuff. But I was in there last week before I went down to Shartucky and bought a bunch of stuff to go. And you had some chickens in there that I swear were 6 or 7 pounds a piece.
That's exactly
big
right.
Big roasters.
Yep.
And so I want to talk to you a little bit in the next segment about what the benefit is of a big old yard bird versus a little ones, a whole one versus one that's cut up, and why that those things fly out of your meat case, all puns intended. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.